Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. An amazing Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We've done all kinds of politics talk and food talk. We still have to discuss illegals. Why don't we just cut them off from financial benefits? Being a Texas Ranger, Mayor Eric Adams, people want to deal with that indictment some more. Employers who aren't fair to their employees. All that's still to come this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We finished last hour just starting to talk about this, so I'm going to just discuss it briefly for a moment. Guy emailed in. His uncle was killed on board a ship in Bataan. Whole family hated the Japanese forever, shunned a cousin who married a Japanese woman. How's that happen? How could that happen? Okay, so I discussed briefly Germany and racial hatred. Now let's discuss the Japanese in World War II. Because they're not German, German people look, well, they're white, right? But the Japanese are not. Obviously, they're Asian. We don't discuss the racial base and racial hatred of the Japanese Empire back then. It's not this way anymore. I love Japan. I love the Japanese people. But back then, it was such a racial superiority country. And that racial superiority combined with a militaristic society, it is something that was ingrained in their people from the earliest years of school. They were encouraged and taught in school that they should grow up, especially the boys, they should grow up to be warriors. They should grow up and die for Japan, die for the emperor, military prowess. And they were taught the people around them, not just white people, Chinese, other Asian countries, Filipinos, everyone who wasn't Japanese, purely Japanese, they were an inferior breed. I told you about this documentary I watched one time. It's my favorite documentary ever, called Hell in the Pacific. I do own a physical copy. I finally got one courtesy of you guys, but it's very hard to find. The BBC put it out. But I remember, like it was yesterday, I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but they had this former Japanese soldier in there, and he was in China as an old man when they're filming the documentary. And he was in some tiny farming village in China, and he was setting candles by, if I remember right, it was this big mound of dirt. What was in that mound of dirt? The dead bodies of the Chinese people that he and his fellow troops marched into town, raped them, tortured them, and murdered every one of them and buried them in that mound. And he was discussing, I mean, you got to give the guy credit for owning it in his later years. He was discussing how ingrained they were with thinking the Chinese were dogs, rats, nothing. If you ever look at the incidents like I just described and say, how could a human being do that to another human being? Well, oftentimes human beings can't do that to other human beings, but you can do it to rats. So you put that in the mind of people. You are Japanese. You are superior. You are above. Everyone else is low, a dog, a coward, useless. And then when your armies of conquest march off to war, they will conduct themselves that way. And their commanders, it wasn't like this is just something that took place in school back then. Their commanders, their generals, their colonels, they would tell their troops that stuff. They would have competitions of who can chop off the most heads. Now get to Bataan, something like Bataan. But this isn't unique to Bataan. It was our how we interacted with the Japanese throughout the war. Americans hadn't really been introduced to that mentality from the Japanese yet. MacArthur, he puts all of our troops in the Philippines on the Bataan Peninsula because the Japanese are raiding the Philippines. They're taking everything. We retreat to Bataan because MacArthur believes that's where we can defend it. We can't. It fails. We don't have the logistics. We don't have the Navy. We don't have this. And eventually we have to surrender something like 15,000 troops, not counting Filipinos, on Bataan. You walk into Japan to the Japanese, you meet, you surrender. And when the Japanese general met with the American general said, hey, I'm surrendering my men. You're going to treat them right. And the general said, yeah, of course. I forget what he said, something like, we're not animals, we're not barbarians. Yeah, of course. And then they took those men, and it's very famous. Everyone knows about it. They marched them, I think it's 70 miles. The men were already malnourished, many wounded. They were marched 70 miles in the 105, 110 degree jungle heat from one place to the other. And during this march, as men died of thirst, died of hunger, they were given no water, no nothing. The Japanese conducted themselves like demons, devils. They would drive over the troops on purpose and laugh. They would make the men pick a guy, a friend, and they would make his friends bury him alive. And if you think, I wouldn't, I refuse, if you refuse, they'd bury you alive. You had no choice. If you went to go get water because you're dying of thirst, they cut your head off. They bayonet you right there. Animals. Savages. You mentioned your uncle was on a ship. They would take our guys on the ships and they would put our guys, our prisoners, on ships and not mark them as prisoner transport ships. And we would sink our own ships with our guys on it. Happened many times during the war. Allied troops sinking ships without knowing that our troops were on the ships. And the Japanese would stuff all of our guys down in some boiling hot hold in the ship and toss them a bucket and some bread. And guys would lose their minds. They would die down there. The things that happened to our men at the hands of the Japanese in World War II, it's unimaginable. And it's so hard to think, how could human beings do that to others? And it created this lasting, visceral hatred for the Japanese. For every World War II veteran I have ever spoken to who was on the ground, I'm not talking about the guys scrambling eggs, the guys on the ground who fought, every one of them hated the Japanese. And every one of these guys, when I talked to them, they were all old men by the time I talked to them. Old men. They hated the Japanese. Well, when you conduct a war of racial superiority, everywhere you go, every person you touch, every community you march into, if you feel you are above, you're superior, you're of a higher life form than the people who are there, then you will conduct yourself like an animal when you get there. And that kind of experience stays with people for life. That kind of hatred stays with people for life. Honestly, you ever hear from a Holocaust survivor? Even if you've never talked to one, you ever seen a video of one? Oh, they remember. How many details do they remember? All of them. Because you remember what it's like to go from being a normal person, a normal citizen, to being treated like a freaking cockroach and murdered. And that's the kind of thing that mankind will do to other men when they create this culture that others are inferior. And this, look, a lot of this comes back to modernize it today. It's the reason they've tried to murder Donald Trump several times, and they will try again. Remember, they will try to kill him again. I hope they continue to fail. but it is a guarantee that they will keep trying to murder Donald Trump. Why? Because Democrats have spent years creating this image that he's Hitler, that he's a Nazi, that he's a white supremacist, that he's a... Well, if you program enough people with that over and over and over and over and over again... Did you go read the latest assassin, the second Trump assassin? Did you go read that letter he wrote? I would encourage you, since the idiot DOJ publicized it anyway, go read the letter he wrote. Did that sound like a man who considered himself a murderer? Did it sound like a man who was trying to take the life of a husband, a father, a grandfather, a Republican nominee? Did it sound like that? No, that letter sounded like a man who was out there as a force for good trying to stop Hitler before it was too late. That's the culture of assassination the communists have created in this country, and it extends far beyond Donald Trump. People who consume large amounts of American mainstream media, you've gone to a university, you listen when Democrat politics talk, they now consider themselves superior to you. And you're less than human. Do you want the border enforced? Oh gosh, what kind of a Nazi are you? Probably one of these ones who didn't get your sixth booster shot. You're basically someone who wants to murder my grandma. You see how you can twist yourself up into murderous knots that way? It's exactly what we've created here in this country. Scary, right? Well, whatever. At least you're pain free. At least you're pain free, courtesy of Relief Factor. You're not still taking things to mask that pain of yours, right? You're not waking up, getting out of bed every day, doing that wincing thing with your back and going to grab something to mask that pain. Why are you masking it when you can fix it? Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's developed by doctors, but it's drug-free. It's natural. It supports your body's natural response to inflammation. So that pain in your knees, your hands, your feet, your back, your neck, your muscles, whatever. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks and see how much better your entire life is. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to live like a refugee. I don't know why Tom Petty's talking like that. You can get on the Minneapolis Police Department.
The Minneapolis Police Department swore in new officers.
And that includes its first ever female Somali officer. Ben Henry was there and shares what she and other recruits hope to accomplish. Lots of hope there tonight, Ben.
There is. The department now has its first ever Somali woman officer and permanent resident, which is a non-citizen who's lived in the community since she was a child. Lindsay, you said it. One word that was used a lot tonight, hope. Mayor Jacob Frey says he sees and feels the department building back up, not just in numbers, but in culture.
We're doing good here. We've really got things figured out. Anyway, great news. If you happen to be laying in bed tonight, in Minneapolis, you hear a glass break. You peek out your bedroom window in the dark and you see three masked men rummaging through your stuff. They have knives and hatchets out, and you call the police. The good news is that cop who shows up, she will be a woman from Somalia and a non-citizen. So that should help you. Honestly, that'll be huge. That'll go a long way to saving your life. Let's get back to the question, shall we? Dr. Jesse, I was listening to the Tucker Carlson podcast in which you were the star. And at the end, he said, there's a new sheriff in town, which was referring to you. I scoffed because I thought he should have said, there's a new Texas Ranger in town. I mean, how cool would it be to say Jesse Kelly, Texas Ranger? But I'm second guessing myself because you always talk about legal and local first. So if sheriff and Texas Ranger show up at your house at the same time and wanted to deputize you, who would you choose? His name is Jacob. That's very difficult. That's extremely difficult. As a young man who used to love playing Cowboys and Indians and reading about Cowboys and Indians, some of the great cowboy and Indian clashes in American history were the Texas Rangers taking on the Comanches. The Comanche Nation was so powerful, they could take on armies. And the Texas dug up a bunch of country boys who could shoot, brave, and went and took them on. They're great fights. They're great fights. That said, I really think I could be the sheriff of any given place. I feel like I'd be a good... I'd be totally corrupt, don't get me wrong, but it would look good if I was the sheriff. You know, I don't want to be a deputy. I want to be the sheriff. And I would have aviator sunglasses, and I don't care how much Ob complained, I would shave in a mustache, and it would be an epic mustache. Oh, Chris, handlebars don't even describe what it would be. I'd probably wax them. I'd wax them, and I would have the most absurdly big cowboy hat you've ever seen in your life. It would almost look cartoonish. I'd have to take it on, and I'd have to take it off getting in my vehicle. What, Chris? Car or bike? No, Chris, no. Pickup truck. I'd have a sheriff's pickup truck with a gun rack in it, and I'd have an AR-15 in the gun rack, and then a shotgun in case I got called out to sheriff calls for little critters or something like that. Don't worry, Sheriff Jesse will take care of it. And that's how I'd talk to people. In fact, I'd insist everyone in my life referred to me as sheriff, even my wife and kids. I'd tell Ob, and I could see Ob and the kids pushing back on that. I could see them not going along with my wishes, but man, Sheriff Jesse, let me just say, yes. At some point, the illegals will be cut off. We switched gears. We went to emails,
but
here.
My focus is just stay focused.
At some point, illegals will be cut off from financial benefits. Most have no useful skills. Will they riot? Yes, of course they're going to riot. And America's law enforcement agencies, the bad ones, there are plenty of good ones, plenty of bad ones. America's law enforcement agencies will run protection for the foreigners when the foreigners begin to riot, and they will. I'm not an oracle. I like to joke like that, but you're already seeing this play out in other parts of the world. The UK is going through this as we speak. The people got tired of being raped and murdered by Muslim gangs. The people of the UK finally had enough of it. They rose up. They began taking to the streets to voice their displeasure with the foreigners their Democrat Party, Labour Party, brought into the country. And very quickly, there was a response from the Muslim population of the UK, and the police and the government joined the Muslim population. They all joined one big happy team, one big happy family against the UK citizens who were complaining about it. And that exact same situation will play out here. Now, let me ask you once again, have you gotten involved locally? Have you spoken to your sheriff? Have you gotten involved in any upcoming sheriff's races in your area? What kind of sheriff do you have? There are lickspittle sheriffs, little bootlickers all over the country who will happily join with the government to crush you. And there are amazing sheriffs all over this country who would stand shoulder to shoulder with you and fight against the tyranny. The question is, what kind do you have? Do you even know? And you know, you're allowed, these are not hard people to access, you're allowed to walk up to them and ask them these questions in a very direct way. They will answer you. And if they don't, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? Anyway, let's move on. Someone wants to talk a little bit more about Eric Adams, what's happening in New York. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also call and leave us a voicemail. There's not going to be anyone there. You'll just hear my sultry voice with the voicemail greeting, but you're allowed to do that. 877-377-4373. We got some good ones came rolling in.
Hey, Jesse, this is Chad from Ohio. I think the reason Biden wanted Harris to be the last one in the room was he was hoping to get some of what Willie Brown got.
Oh, Chris, are you monitoring these before we play them on the air? Chris, maybe start reviewing the voicemails before we play them on the air. Chad, that's not nice. You know what? That's not nice. At all. Chris and I were joking before we'll get to the Eric Adams thing. Chris was making some jokes during the break. I had gone on another show. I won't go into the details of it. Earlier today, I had to do a little guest hit on there, and he was joking that I'm going to get kicked, off of another show. And you notice he said another show. I have been kicked off of so many shows and so many channels. On Fox News, it used to be I would just get kicked off of individual shows. I made a joke on one show one time. I forget exactly the context, but the joke was it would be like sharing an elevator. Remember when Eric Swalwell farted on camera? Everyone heard it. We've played it for you a million times. It's right there on camera. He just lets it loose. So I went on Fox News, and they asked me to come on, and they asked about Eric Swalwell. And I said it would be like sharing an elevator with Eric Swalwell after he ate a chili dog. The host did not find the humor in that at all. Never got an invite back. Interview over. Another one was with, what's that guy's name? Leland Vittard. I didn't even know where he still is. I didn't even know who he is at the time. I'd never heard of him before. Heard he wanted me on. I said something. He was so disgusted with me. He practically threw me off right then and there. I think he's a Democrat. He didn't like anything I had to say. So I started off getting kicked from individual shows, and then eventually it just became a blanket-wide ban from the channel. Oh, well. Anyway, if you want it, here we are. Dr. Jesse, is the Mayor Adams indictment a miscalculation? He spoke up for New York City, and it's the residents against the Biden-Harris immigrants flooding the city. Can this swing voters to Trump? Your thoughts. Well, there's a danger in what I'm about to say, but there's such a thing as banking votes for an area in politics. Banking votes. You're just counting on the votes. If you're a Democrat running for president, you know you're going to win New York. And let me be clear. Times do change and societies change and it happens slow. So you can bank on, oh, we'll have New York. We don't even have to make an effort in New York. And then one day maybe that'll come back and bite you in the rear end. But until that day comes, until a state like California raises up and votes red again for the first time. Until that day comes, Democrats are going to bank on those votes, and they're going to ritually abuse the people in those areas because they believe they can do so without consequence. The same thing works on our side. The reason you have low-T eunuchs like James Lankford pushing amnesty with his Senate spot in Oklahoma is Lankford believes the Republican primary voters are too lazy, stupid, and useless to ever kick him out of office for doing something like that. That's the only reason he does stuff like that. And he's been proven right thus far. Hopefully we will rise up and prove him wrong. But until then, he's been proven right. Why does Mitch McConnell do this? Mitch McConnell's been reelected every time easily. He sails through the primary process every time easily. Mitch McConnell, he thinks he can do whatever he wants, and the idiot Republican primary voter will still go vote for him. And Mitch McConnell's correct. The exact same thing happens with Democrat politicians in politics. New York City is something like, or at least Manhattan, is something like 87% red. This doesn't apply to Staten Island or anything like that, but something like 87% red. Or blue, I mean, Democrat, communist. And Chicago is the exact same percentages. All these big urban areas, same percentages. So Democrats took all these illegals and they stuffed them not only in the blue cities, they stuffed them in the black neighborhoods of the blue cities. Hey, here's a rec center for you. Here's a school for you. And these, all these, we've played audio of all these black community activists and parents and people getting upset. Why are they here? Why are they here? How could you do this to us? They're doing it to you because they don't have any respect for you at all. They don't think that you're ever going to change how you vote. They're banking on you voting Democrat like a drone for the rest of your life. And until you prove them wrong, they're right. As I've said a million times, and I will say it forever, the urban Democrat and the Republican primary voter, the urban Democrat, so the New York Democrat and the Republican primary voter, they have this in common. They think they have nothing in common, but they have this in common. They get exactly what they deserve. If you're an urban Democrat and you're looking around and you're angry at all the drugs and the crime and the illegals and they hate the cops now and the city's going to crap, blah, 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 it's your fault. You voted for this. Oh, but I hate Trump. No, no, no. I know you're a stupid communist drone. I get all the talking points. I understand. It's your fault. That rape up the street, you did it. That murder, that carjacking, you did that. Oh, but the prices, the dirt, the schools, you did it. Keep voting Democrat. You'll keep getting what you deserve. And vice versa, the Republican primary voter or non-voter. Oh, was there a primary? I couldn't tell. It's college football season. That's a lot of them. Or even worse, primary? Yeah, I went out and voted for my Senator John Cornyn of Texas. I saw he ran an ad talking about building the wall and how he's going to protect our gun rights. Go John Cornyn. You get exactly what you deserve every time John Cornyn joins with the communists to screw you over. It's your fault. If you're a Republican, look, I go off on them all the time, but it could be Tom Tillis, John Thune, you name it. If you're a Republican in Oklahoma, did you vote against James Lankford in the last primary? Did you bring a friend? Or did you go out and vote for that stupid weak ginger? Because he ran an ad and he went to my church last Sunday. Well, if you're angry about the latest amnesty deal he did with Democrats to give them cover in an election year, you know who you should be angry with? Go find a mirror and look in it. That's who you should be angry with. The urban Democrat and the Republican primary voter get exactly what they deserve. That's the fact. And I know this is falling on deaf ears with you because you vote in every primary. I know you're voting against these disgusting incumbents, but this is why. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, leadership. You have to start being more of a leader with your friends. And I do too. Please don't think, because I do this for a living now, don't think that when I get in private like tonight or tomorrow night. I think we're going to a high school football game tonight, or we'd all be around other people and politics come up. I am generally the more reserved type. I do this for a living. I oftentimes don't want to talk politics when I'm off the air. Sometimes I don't, because of my nature, which is so rude, I don't want to step on toes. Every now and then, that's not really me, but sometimes I just don't want to deal with it. I need to start being more vocal and more of a leader. You do too, because we're surrounded by morons who will go vote for Tom Tillis next primary. Got to stop it. Got to stop. All right. Maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, but Jesse, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. Well, all that means is you haven't been taking your male vitality stack from Chalk. If you're intimidated by the thought of confrontation over politics with other people, your T levels are low. If your energy is out by 2 p.m, your T levels are low. If you get depressed often, without an explanation, your T levels are low. You're walking around in a low T fog, and you don't have to. Care for that naturally with Chalk. Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk. They have endless natural herbal supplements. They also have a hotline you can call or text, and they'll guide you through things. 50-CHALK, CHOQ 3000. 50-CHALK 3000, the most hardcore anti-communists I know, and they have the best natural herbal supplements I've ever seen in my life. I love these guys. Go. All right. We only have one segment left. We have a lot to do. How do you deal with an unfair employer? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us voicemails, at least for now. This will probably end up getting cut off given the ones we've already had. 877-377-4373. I'm just kidding. Chris and I loved it. We've been snickering all morning. You morons. Anyway, before I get back to some more emails, I want to do just a couple quick things. California is going to officially apologize for the state's role in slavery and discrimination. There's so much I could say about this, but I'm not going to bother with it. It just, if you take a step back and look at Western civilization, it's just one long struggle session is what it is. One long struggle session where we have to constantly stand up and admit how bad we suck, how evil we are, just pillage the place a little bit more. We're so terrible. And for those of us who love this country, it's nauseating. It's wild how big this has gotten. Anyway, dear Nipple Splinter Cell, how do you deal with employers who don't enforce rules evenly? There are other people in my department who regularly take excessively long lunch breaks and smoke breaks, but there seems to be no consequences. Meanwhile, others are being scrutinized for walking in the door at start time instead of 5 minutes before. It's worth noting the high performers are the ones under the microscope. The turds are getting away with everything. Says not to say his name, and I won't say his name. Well, I will say this, no matter who you are or where you are in life, If you bring value to your employer, if you are a valuable employee, and remember, it doesn't take special skills to be a valuable employee. Show up on time, don't leave early, don't office gossip, and don't return to the boss until the task he's given you is done. Those are four simple steps. Show up on time, don't leave early, don't office gossip. Return only once the task is complete. Those four things. If you do those four things, you're in the top 10% of employers in this country. Now, if you do those four things and your employer is not treating you the way you deserve to be treated, well, remember what I just said? Top 10%? That makes you rare. You're not You're not just some dude, some chick. You're elite if you do those things. Employers are dying for someone like you. If your employer is not doing you right, and the person who's burning heaters is getting better benefits than you are from the boss, find yourself a new job. Don't sit and bow to your employer. Don't ever allow an employer to mistreat you at all, ever. No, sir. Jesse, I'm trying to convince my Texas friend to vote for Ted instead of Allred. He is hung up on the Cancun Ted story. Any suggestions? Okay, for those who may not remember the Cancun Ted story, Ted Cruz is in a Senate race with Colin Allred. He's winning. He'll be fine, but he's in a Senate race with Colin Allred. And there was this terrible storm, this terrible freeze in Texas. Ted got on a plane with his family to go to Cancun, and he was filmed in the airport. And when your state's going through any kind of a natural disaster, politically, it didn't look right. I mean, what are we going to have him do when he's back here? But politically, it didn't look right. But it's also not a big of a deal and nothing tangible. If you have a friend who's telling you they're planning on voting for the communist instead of Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz went to Cancun, let me explain something to you. Your friend is a Democrat. Your friend is a Democrat who understands you're not a Democrat. And in fact, this was a lady who emailed this in. I bet you, I have no idea what she looks like, but I bet you she's a smoke. I bet you she's a dime. And this Texas friend of yours, lady, he wants to date you. And he knows if he comes out and tells you that he's a scumbag communist who wants to vote for Colin Allred because Colin Allred's a scumbag communist, he understands his chances of making out with you are going way, way down. So instead, this moron Democrat came up with the best excuse he could come up with in a short time frame and said he plans on voting for a committed communist to be in the United States Senate because the other guy took a vacation to Cancun. Honestly, even if your friend isn't trying to date you and make out with you, he's so dumb. I don't think you should ever associate with that person ever again. Just he's so dumb. He's too dumb. I'm sorry. I know he's your friend. If you guys are close, you should be careful. That dumb might rub off on you. It's also dumb not to donate to Tunnel to Towers, especially when they're only asking for $11 a month. Tunnel to Towers. They're out there putting in the work for the Gold Star families, for the fallen first responder families. How many times have we had to tune in and see some cop's funeral where his wife is left behind talking about, I don't know what me and the kids are going to do. I miss him so much. Who's there for that family? Tunnel to Towers is there for that family. You remember Jonathan Diller, NYPD? He's got killed by a piece of trash. Wife, kid left behind. Tunnel to Towers stepped up, stepped in immediately, and paid off their home. $11 a month to care for widows and orphans. Not too shabby, huh? T2T.org. T2T.org. Go give what you can. All right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
My daughter says she hates Trump. I asked her why, and she said her kindergarten teacher told her to, and that Trump is hateful. This was last night. I almost fell out of my chair. That's despicable. I'm not sure what to do about it yet. Any ideas? Well, it's like, you know your school district. You know this or that. I, one time and one time only, had one of my children's teachers bring up something political in a way I did not like. Teacher was calling Black Lives Matter a civil rights group. And let me just tell you something, pal. She never mentioned it a second time because old Daddy Jesse got involved heavily. And even though she's a dirty, filthy communist, she knew from that point forward, you better stow that crap around my kid or I will be back in here again. If my child's kindergarten teacher brought up something like that, I would light her up like a Christmas tree. And I'd be in the principal's office as well, and I'd be on the school board. Remember that audio cut? It's too late in the show. I don't have time to dig it up for you right now. Remember that audio cut of that English teacher at the Dome rally, the Kamala Harris rally from the other day?
where she said she went into teaching because it was a tool for social justice. There are predators all over the teaching profession who went into it for the purpose of wrecking your child and turning them into a dirty commie. Don't let them get away with it comfortably. Light them up. Emails, in person, I'll be there after school. See you then. Anyway, got myself fired up. That's the end of the show. I'll see you on Monday. That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.